Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Willie and D-Mace, hour number two. Don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, it'll be Ask D-Mace on our phone text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming down the stretch on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. Titans preseason finale, and then it is a college football week next week. Mitch Light, with that in mind, is going to join us from The Athletic, and we're going to give you sort of the Athletic's view of who's going to make the playoffs, who's going to win the Heisman, who's going to win the national championship. They had a pool of 28, I think, writers at The Athletic, and they came up with some interesting stuff, and so we're going to get Mitch to sort of tie it all together, get his opinion on it. That's coming up in an hour. But we had a good call from Kyle right before the hour ended, and he wanted to know what's going on with the wide receivers. So let's look at the depth chart. And D-Mace, I want to maybe we can get the wide receiver translator out here, because it's not just wide receiver. Everybody's got where they play. Mm-hmm. We talked about the X and the Z, right, in the past. So let's do the depth chart, but let's go next level and not just say so-and-so plays wide receiver, because Jaquan Jackson's role is not going to be, say, quite the same as Calvin Ridley, right? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is not quite the same as Treylon Burks necessarily, right? So let's – how do you see it? Let's – can we run it through?
Wide receiver translator.
Okay, now we're ready.
How I look at this wide receiver room working itself out, the easy – way, which we're not going to discuss, but the easy way is just to name all six or seven guys that we think would make the roster. But that's too easy. That's not doing your homework, really. That's just looking up a problem and saying, okay, this is the answer, and writing it down. No, we want to work the answer, Willie. So at the Z receiver, which is the guy off the ball, normally he's to the strength of the call, Calvin Ridley. I think many people knew that. The H...
so that's
which
Z.
Is the, yeah, that's Z. The H, which is the slot receiver, that would be Tyler Boyd. So
right.
Tyler Boyd can line up to the strength. He can line up to the weakness. He can line up on point, trips. It don't matter. And then the X would be DeAndre Hopkins, a guy that's typically away from the formation, a guy that's on the ball. You're not moving the X around much. So that's what you have. You have Ridley at the Z. He's off the ball to the strength side, majority of 99% of the times. DeAndre Hopkins, he's at the X, which is away from the strength of the call on the ball. And then Tyler Boyd will be the H or F, whatever some teams call him F.
Whatever the terminology is, H. But that's basically the slot guy, right?
The slot guy. So okay. he's a movable object. He can line up to the left. He can line up to the right. It doesn't matter. To the strength, away from the strength.
So those are the three veterans that we knew in the summer.
Where exactly.
Once they signed Boyd,
those were
these
set.
Were the three. That's set.
Those were set.
But of course, DeAndre Hopkins is injured right now. Questionable, let's say, for the first game. So right now, who do you have as the X in his spot?
I got Treylon Burks as the X in his spot. Treylon Burks moves over, because at first he was just a guy that needed to learn all positions, and I think I explained to everyone why I thought that was the case, and it has come to pass. Treylon Burks is a guy that they wanted to learn all positions. Why? Because he would more than likely be the guy, regardless of how you have the depth chart set on both sides, he would be the guy that goes in if someone comes out. If Ridley comes out, Treylon Burks would be the guy that goes in, not Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. if DeAndre Hopkins goes down, which he has, why do you think Brian Callahan said now he's playing X? Because he was always going to be the next guy. If Ridley was out, they would have put him at Z. Hopkins is out now. Now they just transfer him and put him at X. So now behind Calvin Ridley, behind D. Hopkins, is Treylon Burks.
Okay.
Which is the X.
Okay, so Burks, and he's been getting the reps and getting a little banged up, but
So right now he's the starting X.
He's the starting X, unless Hopkins is ready to go in game one. Absolutely. And that'll be something to watch for. So, okay, let's now go to the slot. Who's behind Boyd at the H?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would put Jaquan Jackson, but
I like him too.
I think this is how the Titans would do it. They would put Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in at the slot if D-Hop is still hurt. Now, if D-Hop is hurt, I think they would transfer D-Hop into the slot, which I think it will work out really well for him. And then they would have, as the three starters, D-Hop at H, Calvin Ridley at Z, and Treylon Burks at X.
So you think Hopkins could move to the H?
I think Hopkins can move to the H. Once the roster's cut down, Kyle Phillips is nowhere in this mix. He's not. Okay. I don't think he is.
So, but the other guy you mentioned a couple times,
Jaquan Jackson,
is Jackson and NWI, right?
Yes, I think those would be the two guys.
So we've listed six guys, right there: Ridley, Boyd, and Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Burks, Jaquan Jackson, and NWI.
Yes.
Now, Jaquan Jackson is the rookie. He's the guy that's pushing. But do we feel pretty good that he's going to make the team?
Oh, yeah. He makes the team.
And in a game, right, let's presume that Hopkins is back. How many guys are you really rotating? Five? Can you get five? Can the six be kind of a wild card in there? Like if Jackson is the wild card six that you spot a little bit?
The six is possibly a guy. He has to play a key role on special teams. That's one. But I think that sixth guy, if I'm looking at it, if I'm thinking about this, which I am, he's a guy that you may have a play or two designed for.
Okay. And that could be perfect for Jackson.
Exactly. That you bring him in the game for those three to four plays that you may have. I do believe this. They're going to have three to four plays designed for Jaquan Jackson for the opener. I'm not talking about for this last preseason game. I think for the opener, they're going to have at least two to four plays designed specifically for him to utilize his speed and quickness.
Okay.
Get him the ball very quickly and see what he can do. I believe they already have that written in for him. You know, so he's going to be a guy that they can use both special teams-wise and sparingly in the offense. So that's why I have him penciled in as the backup to Tyler Boyd if he goes down. But I think the first guy they would insert in there, they'll just shuffle around the deck a little bit. I think they would put Hopkins inside, Burks outside, have Ridley outside as well. Or they may, you know, leave Hopkins outside and put Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Jaquan Jackson. But if you want to have if you want to have the best three on the field in your mind that can pose the biggest threat to teams, what you would do is slide D-Hop in the middle, Calvin Ridley, and Burks. And Burks. That's what you would do.
That one I really hadn't thought about is that if Burks takes off, mm-hmm. I mean, it takes off as a...
He's consistent.
I'm not saying he's going to turn into Randy Moss, okay? Yes. But if he does some of the things...
Consistency.
Yes, a little consistency. That would be a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Now, this wouldn't be good for Tyler Boyd, but... If you had your best three out there, your most talented three, D-Hop in the slot with Burks at the X and Ridley at the Z, I hadn't really thought about that trio, but that might be your most talented three. If you believe that Boyd is not quite the same player he was 5 years ago, that he's just a steady slot guy, you know what you're going to get, but his production is diminished some over the last couple
of
years.
I don't think they're going to move Boyd out of that position unless he just plays horribly
Yeah.
or he gets injured, because I think Boyd is the glue guy And what I mean, people, by the glue guy, because he knows the offense better than anybody else on that offense other than the head coach, he's the guy that kind of glues everybody together. If D-Hop forgets something, as we all do as receivers, and I'm running out there, Tyler Boyd is the guy that can say, hey, you got this. Or if Ridley forgets something, Tyler Boyd can always, as we're running out, hey, Ridley, you got this. So now he's an extension of the quarterback and the head coach. So I don't think they will move Tyler Boyd out of that slot position unless he's just playing horrible or if he gets injured. If he's playing okay, they're going to leave him there because of critical moments in the game. He knows this offense in and out. He knows exactly what to do in those critical moments.
Okay, so NWI. Can he comfortably play any of the three spots?
Okay. NWI is a Swiss knife.
So he's kind of a
Swiss Army knife.
The Swiss Army knife, the utility man. So that's something. So that leaves the other guys like Kyle Phillips, like Mason Kinsey, guys that you see a lot in these preseason games. Mm-hmm. They're probably odd men out based on what we're saying right now.
Yeah.
Unless they keep a seventh,
which I think that seventh would be probably Mason Kinsey.
Over Phillips?
Yes, because Phillips hadn't shown anything. Phillips hadn't shown anything. The last time Phillips showed something.
And is he hurt again? Is Phillips injured again? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, he's probably. Hamstring
still. Yeah,
hamstring. Oh, boy.
The last time Phillips showed something.
So now could he be on the Nick Frazier IR program where you stash him?
No, you can't stash him.
Well, you can put him on IR.
Yeah, you can put him. But I would, a guy like him.
Designated to return in 4 weeks.
I wouldn't put him on IR, Willie. Because I know what he is.
You just rather cut him?
Yeah, I just rather cut him and put him on a practice squad or just cut him and, you know, allow him the opportunity to go to another team.
Sorry, Kyle. There's no room in the back seat, all right?
Exactly. You got to go, brother. There's another car over there. You know, you can catch a ride with them, but we're going in another direction. You may want to catch that ride home with that other car. I don't think Kyle Phillips has a place on this team anymore. Not to say he's not a good player. I just think his opportunity came and it went. And this coaching staff didn't draft him. So they're looking as if that roster spot can go to people who have proven they should be on this roster. Mason Kinsey, Kyrus Jackson, Jaquan Jackson. Guys like that have proven that they deserve to be on this roster. He's just been too injured for any true evaluation. He showed promise early in the first game 2 years ago. What was it, 2 years ago? He showed promise. And then, or was it last year? I forget.
Phillips, the very, very first game that he played
against
the
Giants. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. He put him
six
in position
catches.
For the winning
field
goal.
He had, five or six catches in that first game.
And he got hurt on the last catch.
Exactly. And then he just went downhill from there.
Tried to play through it. Had the nightmare in Buffalo where he misjudged the punt. You know, and he just went unraveled from there.
So he has no spot on this team. He really doesn't. And it's unfortunate, but, hey, that's what happens when you're injured and – you know, when you do get an opportunity, it's sort of 50-50, you know, and then you have a new coaching staff come in, a new GM that didn't draft you, and it's like, okay, we got to move on. We got to get to the guys we did bring in, we did draft, or if we didn't draft them or bring them in, they have popped. Mason Kinsey has popped. I would take Kinsey over Phillips. I'm not saying Kinsey's going to make the roster, but I would take Mason Kinsey over Kyle Phillips.
I'm thinking Mason Kinsey will be the trusty, rusty, put him on the practice squad, keep him for a rainy day, and you'll need him at some point if injuries hit. And, of course, we've already had two or three smart Alex. You expect this, right? Oh, you guys are forgetting that Treylon Burks is going to be injured by the first game anyway. Like, they're just people that just don't believe he's going to do it. I get it. Like, the skepticism is well-deserved, but
people, he's been hurt. He's been more hurt than injured. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
he's had more bumps and bruises, and he's gotten back up. Even though I don't like it, and I said as much yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it's
just
a perception and an annoyance of him. But he's been hurt. He hasn't been injured this year in training camp. He has been hurt, as have a lot of individuals in camp have been hurt, not injured. He's been able to come back to practice and continue, or he has been able to practice the next day. I don't think he's missed practice because of him being hurt. and he hasn't been injured. So pump the brakes on the narrative of him always being injured. Injured and hurt are two different things. Hell, I got hurt just about every play, but I got back up, walked my ass to the huddle, and let's go.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't injured.
I think we would all sign up for that.
Yeah.
Him.
It's just a rough sport. I mean, it is what it is.
If he just gets to that point and doesn't have the severe, like he's had some significant.
But it's the perception. Right. It's the optics of it.
Yes.
The minute he goes down, what does everybody do? Hold their breath. Oh my goodness, is he gonna get up? Then he gets up. That's why I said, Trina, if you can get up, if you in your mind, once you fall, if you can get right back up, get up and walk off and walk somewhere and deal with it then.
Okay, crazy, maybe not a crazy question, but can you at the X, right, have a situation where D-Hop and Burks each get enough reps there if they're both in there? Because obviously if one's hurt, you play the other, all of that. And you got NWI as your next guy in there that can fill. But in a perfect world, you have all these guys. I don't know how many games that will happen, right? We got to have our questions, top 10 Titans questions. How many games are these guys going to play? But if you had Hopkins and Burks on week one, could you play them both at the X and get them enough reps, opportunities, et cetera?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you how this is going to work, people. But listen to me very, very carefully, okay? I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. But it does predicate on Treylon Burks consistently showing them something. This is how it's going to work, people. Is that right now, DeAndre Hopkins is the starter right now. If he's healthy, he's the starter. They're going to sprinkle Treylon Burks in, you know, try to get him some catches or whatnot. If Treylon Burks shows the consistency that they're looking for, mark my words, you're going to start to slowly as the season goes, you're going to start to see them both in and out of the lineup. Not starting. Hop will always be the starter, but I'm talking about in games. You will start to see them.
The percentage of plays is something to watch.
They're going to start to see them rotate more.
Or, like you said, does Hopkins have a little bit more of a package in the slot?
Absolutely. So we can move over. That's what they're going to slowly start doing, because that's, in actuality, in their minds, that would be the best case scenario for them.
You're looking for long term pieces.
Exactly. Is that Treylon Burks? And I know it's a big question mark, and I get that, people, but I'm just telling you how this thing works. I'm not telling you it's going to be that way. I'm just telling you how it works. If he shows that he can consistently stay there and he's making plays for them, by the middle of the season, you will see those guys interchangeable. You're going to see Burks in the game. You're going to see Hop in the game. You're going to see Hop come out of the game because they want to go deep with Burks. You're going to see Burks come out of the game because they may want to do some red zone stuff with Hop. You're going to see Hop transfer in the middle because they want to have their best three out there in the goal in red zone situations. Not to say that Tyler Boyd isn't, but they're looking at it from a different angle than what we are. So okay. I'm telling you, people, if Treylon, which is a big if and question mark, if he shows consistency at that position, matter of fact, if D-Hop isn't back, full, ready to go by the first game, and Treylon Burks shows consistency that first game, it will start very early when D-Hop come back. You're going to always see them two coming in and out of the game. That's just the way it's going to be. Why? Because you got a younger version of a guy that has put up millions of yards in his league and has been just a tear for so many years. He's a Hall of Famer. But as you start to get older, they're looking for that next young guy to come in and help the offense, you know, move along. That's how it's going to be. But the big question mark is he going to be consistent?
Okay. The wide receiver translation of the depth chart right now. That leads us into Ask D-Mace. We've got a couple of you already on the line, but join in. I want to get this thing cranking. 615-737-1025. Any kind of football question for D-Mace or pop culture, life question, summer question, whatever you got. Back to school question, you hit the phones, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com or text 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace is coming up next here on the show.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Willie and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. This is Willie and D-Mace, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Don't forget, at 1 o'clock, Mitch Light joins us. We'll do a little college football preview, and we've also got some NFL topics we're going to hit in the 1 o'clock hour as well, including how are we seeing the rookie quarterbacks are going to start. In particular, we're going to talk some about Caleb Williams, because that is the Week 1 opponent for the Titans. If you want to get in a little advance, then text D-Mace right now or call at 615-737-1025, and you can ask D-Mace just about anything, whether it's about the Titans and the preseason finale coming up on Sunday or anything else on your mind. The field is wide open. So let's start it off with Dylan, who is on the line with us, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan, what's up? Hello, Dylan.
Hey, so first I just want to say that I don't think anybody corrected Joe Dubin yesterday during celebrity birthdays. He said that the rapper GZA of Wu-Tang Clan, and I was like, GZA? Is he talking about GZA? But yeah, I don't think anybody corrected him, man. That's disrespect.
Hold on, Dylan. What did he say again?
He said the rapper GZA from Wu-Tang Clan. Oh my gosh, man! Come on.
I do remember in the early days of the internet, my colleague George Plaster had a read about a new thing, and he wasn't sure what it was, but it had to do with the internet. And he said, "And you get free WiFi."
Oh my goodness. Go ahead, Dylan. I'm sorry. I hijacked your question.
Hey,
go
look,
ahead.
When I first listened to SZA and I saw the SZA, I wasn't,
I wasn't sure.
Somebody
what it
had
was.
To tell me. Somebody's right got to tell that. You what it is, right?
Exactly. So.
Yeah, but Wu-Tang, you got to know that. That's
exactly. Absolutely. You got to know that one. You're right.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah. My main question is actually about Jaquan Jackson. So because of his skill set, I really think that we should keep him, not just for the return game, but I feel like he could have as dynamic playmaking ability as we used to have with Khalif Raymond. I think, he's better than that. So I just wanted to see how you thought the Titans could utilize him in the passing game, off of play action, deep routes, and just anything like that. So I just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, thank you, Dylan, for the call. I'm high on Jaquan Jackson, not just because his ability to return kicks, because he's doing a damn good job at it. I think his ability to pick up on this offense very quickly, that's one thing that I do admire about players that can, especially rookie players, that can come in and absorb and regurgitate the playbook very quickly. That means he's, one, highly intelligent, and that he's just a student of the game. He loves football, that he's going to put in the necessary time to make sure he knows everything. So when they put him out there, it's like he's been out here in this offense before. And that's basically how they've raved about him. Brian Callahan has. He's an old soul. He knows exactly what to do. It's like he's been in this offense for years. Not only do I like his return skills, but I like him as a slot player. I think they should. And I shouldn't put him in a box like that. I like him as a receiver, period. I think you can put him outside. You can put him inside. He's quick enough. He's fast enough to get off the line of scrimmage. I think they should have packages for him because he's the one guy that has something that they sorely need packaged all in one. That quick, short burst, short space quickness that he has. You don't see that on this squad. You see the long speed. With Calvin Ridley, you see the strength and the explosiveness
at times with Treylon Burks. But beside those two guys, you know what D-Hop is. He is what he is. Tyler Boyd is the same. He is what he is. But Jaquan Jackson has that, what you see in other young receivers on other teams, that quickness, that explosiveness, and that ability to be a home run hitter. I do, and I hope they do, have, you know, plays specific to him once the season starts, because you can put him inside, outside, but I think it will be a lot of motioning with him to get the defense to declare, to get him some open space, get the ball in his hands, and then let that kid do what he does best.
There's so many things like that, you know, with Burks and Jackson and Boyd. There's a lot of things. I just wonder if Callahan can tie it all together. It's such an interesting good thing. And then can Will Levis tie it all together and find the right guy, right?
Cincinnati had a guy like that last year. And I'm trying to remember the kid's name. His rookie guy last year. They end up catching a lot of balls, obviously, because Chase was injured. T. Higgins was in and out of lineup a little bit. But let me look at this. Let's go to the next question.
You're a very popular guy here, D-Mace. People have flooded the text line here. Let's go to Matthew in Nashville. D-Mace, are you buying the Missouri hype that they're a 10 or 11 win team and are going to make a run in the playoff? I think Eli Drinkwitz has succeeded too quickly and has experienced what I call the Butch Jones effect. Remember the old Butch Jones effect? Come out of nowhere in 2023 after 3 years of meh bowl games to beat two top 25 teams, get New Year's Six bowl last year to 2024 having playoff expectations. They are kind of a popular sleeper pick. We're going to talk about them at 1 o'clock with Mitch. But what are your thoughts on Missouri? Are you buying the hype?
Missouri, I'm not sure. I don't know. I know they've had some transfer to come in. This is supposed to be, I don't think their schedule is a daunting schedule. But the SEC, it's packed. I mean, it's top heavy this season. And I'm not sure, based upon, you know, what I've seen of Missouri in previous years, I'm not sure the gauntlet for them isn't too tough. You see what I'm saying? Even with their schedule, I don't think they have one of the toughest schedules,
playing
to my knowledge.
Playing with expectations is big. Coming out of nowhere,
well, their
expectations
is for them, and everybody's looking for them to, you know, make some noise in the SEC, just like everybody's looking for Ole Miss with what they've done with their transfers. They're looking for them to make some noise in the SEC. Well, that's all fine and dandy until the season starts, you know, and looking at their schedule, and is that schedule, which I think Missouri's schedule leads them more toward being a team that at the end they will earn a spot rather than not earning a spot. Again, they don't have a daunting schedule. They don't have one of these top 10, top 15 schedules that some teams have.
Ben in Cumberland City on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm a Colts fan. Tell me what you see from your expertise, from an opponent's point of view, what you see from Richardson and the offense. He says, I hear Colts media all the time and what they see, so I'd appreciate your perspective.
The Colts. We talk about the Colts as if they've won, like, the last two Super Bowls. That's how
they definitely
the Colts,
have not.
Yeah, that's how the Colts get talked about just about every year. Like, they're that team. You better watch out for them. And hell, they may be right. I was even on that train, you know, in certain years. But I'm not sure. A lot of it hinges on, you know, one, Richardson staying healthy. Downs taking another year at that receiver position. Can he, you know, mature a little bit more? Can he, you know, progress in that offense the way that Shane Steichen offense, the way they expect him to in his second year? Now that Michael Pittman Jr. has gotten his money, will he elevate himself even more? You know, so this team has some question marks that needs to be answered. Do I think they're going to be a formidable team, a hard team to beat? Absolutely, I think they are. But I'm not sure they will ultimately end up being a playoff team. I think they'll be a good team. But a playoff team, I'm not sure.
Caleb says, if the O-line struggles to pass block, then do you think Callahan can coach / call plays to hide that?
Oh, man. That's
tough. We talked about it yesterday that Callahan comes from an offense mm-hmm. where, in general, they get the ball out quicker, right? Joe mm-hmm. Burrow, if you look at his average time and pass through the air, mm-hmm. it's a quicker, shorter passing game than what Levis has had. And we talked about that. That can help an offensive line. So,
yes.
In theory, maybe that's the idea.
Okay, I'll answer it this way. Brian Callahan was part of the offense that gave up damn near the most sacks of any quarterback ever. And even though it got better the next following year, they still gave up a lot of sacks.
That's absolutely
still true. Gave up a lot of sacks. So, and I know he wasn't the play caller. I get it. He wasn't the play caller. But I would tend to think his philosophy and the way he thinks sort of is in line with the head coach.
That is one that he's used to watching an offense
exactly.
that has had trouble blocking for a great quarterback.
Absolutely. So, can he do enough? I'm not sure because they didn't do enough when Joe Burrow was quarterback and they had that bad line. It was just that you had some playmakers on the outside, legitimate young playmakers on the outside that masked, and a quarterback that's damn good that masked a lot of the fault in the offensive line. Can he do that, you know, with this offensive line and this quarterback under this system? Yes and no. That's what I say. Because it didn't happen in Cincinnati.
But it's a great question because
yeah,
I think that's what we're going to be looking
for. It really is, yeah.
Can you compensate even if the line and let's
– Now, he does have Bill Callahan.
Let's hope that helps the line. Like yeah. The line is better than it's been because that would go a long way. But even if it's not, can you compensate some by quicker plays to protect and compensate for a poor offensive line? When we come back – segment number two of Ask D. Mace. We're going to get back to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got the text rolling in as well, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Willie and D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Segment number two of Ask D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dave is on the line with some life advice question here. Hey, Dave.
Well, I wanted to exchange life advices with D-Mace. I wanted to know what the best single piece of advice he ever got was, and then I'll tell him what the single best piece that I ever got was.
Wow, single... best piece of advice that I've gotten a lot of advice. But since we are sort of, you know, on the sports end of things, I'm going to keep it there because my mom and dad and brothers, they gave me tons of advice. My ex-wife gave me, my kids give me advice.
Yeah.
They end up being really good advice. But again, I go back to, and I've done this for the longest, I go back to, you know, Chris saying, don't let what they are doing dictate how you go about your business. Again, don't let someone else opinion or anything else allows you to put you in a position or put you in a place where you start doubting yourself, where what you once loved becomes sort of a burden now. No, don't let those around you put you in that place, because for so long when I was a young player, because there was this constant rumors of trade and I'm thinking I'm doing everything possible and I'm still not advancing, and it got to a point where it just wasn't fun anymore for me to go out to practice, something that has always been fun for me, because I allowed others and what they thought, I allowed them to dictate how I moved in the space that I love so much. So he gave me that advice. I took that advice. I ran with it. And my career sort of took off. Now, it was a lot of other factors that were involved, my family and everything else. But that one piece of advice
pertaining to walking in that building every day was some damn good advice, and I needed that advice.
All right, Dave, what do you got? What's your life advice? What's the exchange?
When I was at Michigan State University, my first...
Uh-oh, go green!
Go green!
when I had my first education class, mm-hmm. I was going to be a teacher. The professor got up and said, I'm going to teach you the secret to success in teaching. And everybody's ears kind of stood on end and paid attention. And he said, it's called the 1 second rule. If you last 1 second longer than the problem, you win.
I like that. Okay.
And the reason that became so important was because it brought me right back to where my feet were. Not 5 minutes before, not a day before, not an hour ahead, not a week ahead. It kept me in the moment, which is the only place where I have a chance to have any impact.
I like that. You're absolutely
right, Dave. Thank you
right,
for the call.
Dave.
Great stuff. We got a lot of people that want to chime in.
I'm going to take that advice.
I like that. We're going to write that one down.
Yeah, I'm going to take that
if
advice.
If you last 1 second longer than the problem, you win.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Adam is up next. Adam, welcome to the show. What do you got for D-Mace?
Well, I'm irritated because that last dude was awesome, and I can't follow that. That was great advice.
Come on, you got to bring it, Adam. It's Friday. Let's go.
So I got one for you that's non-sports related, D-Mace.
Yes,
so I'm inspired by this election year, mm-hmm. right? And so that's where this question comes from. Have you ever been in a locker room and somebody wants to start yawn about politics and it start bothering or like affecting you guys? Because they're like, you got an election cycle every 4 years. Everybody at my work has an opinion. I'm sure everybody at your work has an opinion. Have you ever just had to been like, dude, take that on somewhere? Like, we're working, leave me alone. Like, that's a big one.
Interesting question.
It's a weird question.
Yeah. No.
Does it get talked about in the locker room?
I get it, Adam. Yeah. And you know what? At least my years of playing in the NFL 15 years, at least my years of playing, those things didn't enter the locker room.
Really?
Yeah, because they were divisive things. They could potentially be divisive, just like, you know, religion. Even though everyone, you know, they had their beliefs, guys were not walking around the locker room, you know, just going to every guy talking up their beliefs.
Right.
You know, because that could be sensitive to other people. So it's like, I respect your religion. I respect your political views, but that does nothing for us in the big scheme of things. It only divides us if it becomes sort of talked about all the time. Now, I'm not going to say it wasn't mentioned. Hell, it was mentioned in the locker rooms, you know, when Barack Obama became the first black president. Absolutely, it was mentioned in a locker room, but it wasn't mentioned.
That was one of the first things. I was thinking back to your years and that moment in
history. Absolutely.
That we
talked about, but that was a historical moment for the country. I mean, for the world, hell,
right.
You know. So it wasn't a sense of separation there. It was, let's talk, you know, we can discuss this because we never thought we were going to see it, and it happened. So that wasn't a divisive sort of topic, but you know it can become divisive, and in today's climate, anything in regards to politics, it's like people don't know how to talk to people without sort of, if you don't believe what I believe, then I don't like you.
Right. You shouldn't have to have a shouting match about it.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It seems like you can have a discussion.
Nobody wants
that. That should be healthy.
Nobody ever has a discussion. Nobody ever have a discussion about politics or religion. It starts off, but it ends up as an argument of somebody just walking away upset because you don't believe what they believe. Well, isn't that the way life's supposed to be? We don't all agree on everything, you know?
But it doesn't mean
we should hate one another.
I hope we can get to a better place there.
You know, that's just me. That's me.
Okay, let's keep moving. On this, we've got Phil, the local Mizzou expert, to provide, and he's got like six paragraphs on Missouri. Let's save that for the next topic. But he says, "So I think you just need to read this for your own knowledge here,
okay.
D-Mace. We have short on time, so I've got a couple other ones I want to hit here.
Mm-hmm.
And where is the one? What week of the season, this is Vinny that, that texts it, what week of the season do you think veterans need the bye week? What week did you prefer having the bye week over the course of the year?
Definitely not the beginning of the season, no. Definitely not four games into the season. That's what I mean by beginning of the season. I think the optimal time or the best time for a veteran guy is probably middle of the season, somewhere around there.
So you want it right in the middle, not towards the end,
because maybe you've built up momentum and you know whatnot, and I know you can build up momentum, you know, going into the mid part of the season, but it's just something different because you feel you've played all these games and your body needs a rest and is asking for a rest, and then all of a sudden that bye week comes in, and it's like, whew, good, we got it. Then you get that bye week. Now you're able to go and press on to the back half of the season. So I think the optimal time would be in the middle of the season.
Steve from Rayon City says, ask D-Mace, if he saw Tom Brady out, would you be on a first-name basis?
I wouldn't call him Mr. Brady. I call him Tom. And, you know, I'm sure...
But I guess
I'm sure if I introduced myself, he would, okay, I remember, just like, you know, friends have helmets on during the season.
Now they keep,
and we played them enough.
Oh, yeah.
That you would know, just like you saw
Fred. I would hope he knows who you are, especially with his new job.
Exactly.
He better know a little football history.
So,
the guys he played
and I'm sure Tom knows a lot of football. He was a, it seemed like he was a football savant, you know, knowing a lot of stuff about, you know, the game of football or the NFL in general. But that was just like, you know, Fred Taylor and who else? The whole Pivot podcast, Fred Taylor, why am I forgetting the safety? I don't know. Ryan Clark and then Chowder. Those three guys were out at practice last week and, you know, I didn't know if Fred Taylor remembered me or not. And I introduced myself. Hey, Fred, what's going on, D-May? She was like, oh, man. She's like, man, you ain't got to introduce yourself. I know. Like, yeah. So it's just stuff like that. I wouldn't have.
You never
hey,
assumed.
Mr. Taylor, how you doing? No, it's, hey, Fred, what's going on, man?
Now, you if know, you so. Saw him, it, let's just say, it's hard to get to him, right? But if this scenario came up and you saw him, would you walk up and want to say hello? Yeah, to
yeah,
Tom
I
Brady?
Would. Hey, I respect. I mean, I respect. What, I don't like that he went to Michigan.
I am
you
the
know
worst.
That.
Sometimes I freeze up sometimes. Uh-huh. Like, there's somebody that maybe I even know and have met a few times, but sometimes I'm too shy to either.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't necessarily go out of like if he was across the room with another
another group talking to people.
I wouldn't walk over there.
I'm like that.
Yeah.
I never. I
it
don't
would
do
have
that.
To be if we're like as close as you, yeah. you and I are, Willie. And I saw
sometimes
him, like, hey,
I feel like
Tom,
I should do that
on?
More.
Exactly.
Though. Like start up a conversation.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. yeah. I feel the same way at times, but I'm not gonna see him from across the room and say, "Oh, I gotta get over there." I'm not that type of dude. We got to be a little bit closer for me to introduce myself.
All right, let's get Joe on the phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe.
Hey, D-Mace. I'm sorry to hear about your puppies, your puppy. I'm wondering how you're handling that. And I lost my companion of 14 years, Mr. Prince Puck Ovechkin. Schnauzer poodle who's got a little sass and attitude. I'm heartbroken. How are you taking it?
Thanks for the call, Joe. I like the name, too, because Ovechkin was a little bit, you know. And so, obviously, his pup was the same. And I'm sorry to hear about your loss as well. But, you had your dog for a very long time, and you were able to spend so much time with your family member. I'm starting to get away from calling just a dog because people look at them as family members. And technically, that's what they are. You got to take care of them. You got to be there for them. But – you know, it hits me in certain times. Like yesterday, I'm sitting at the kitchen counter, not sitting, standing, and I just tracked, and it's weird. I just tracked all the areas Lexi used to walk. Like I seriously like, and it was like I was imagining her just walking through all the areas, going upstairs because she loved to sit. Upstairs on like the landing part because she can see out the house, the windows up there. She could see everything, so she loved to go up there and sit, and she tore up the darn railings, their metal railings, so she ripped
the
all
markings
the,
are still
exactly
there.
They're still there.
Oh man, that
her little stain is still there that she made with a fur. So I just tracked
all of the areas that she walked around the house yesterday for like 5 minutes. And it was like, man, she's not here. Like, goodness gracious. So it comes in waves. The kids took it extreme. I knew my son was going to take it extremely hard. And when he saw her, because I had to, you know, I had to leave her there until the kids came out, you know, McCall, she came and wrapped Lexi up because I didn't want to do it. And when DJ came in, it was like she was wrapped up and he kind of walked over there and kind of looked around. He really didn't want to unwrap her. And then when he unwrapped her, he just broke down crying. And when you see that of your kids, it's just like it makes it even worse, you know, because they were so close. He was like the first day I brought her home. They were like peanut butter and jelly. Everywhere, literally, Willie and everyone, everywhere my son went, she was like telling right behind him. If she didn't see him leave, she would get up, look around, and she'd start walking around like where, like the places he would go. Like, where's he at? Where's he at? And then she finally gets to where he's at, and she'd just sit down. She would wait outside the bathroom. When he was in the bathroom, she would wait outside the bathroom. Just wait for him until he came out. So, you know, to see that and then see my daughter come in right after my son, and she starts breaking down. That's why I say they're family members.
Yep.
They're not dogs. They're family members. So, but thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good way to wrap up. Ask D. Mace. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody this week. We had so many people responding. I love that. We do that every Friday at 12:30. Ask D. Mace. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college football. Mitch Light from The Athletic is going to join us. We'll look at The Athletic's picture for the playoffs at the top and the Heisman Trophy. Who's going to win the national championship? They have 28 writers. Mitch is one of the college football editors, so he works with all these guys. And we're going to put it all together. What does The Athletic think of the college football season? Stay tuned. We're coming back with hour number three of Willie and D. Mace.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. Award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings. Cultural sites to open your mind. And dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.